Hey family, welcome back to Unfiltered Faith Beyond the Church Walls. I'm Evelyn.
And I am Crystal.
And we are so glad you decided to join us today. We are officially kicking off a brand new series. We recap our Tuesday night Bible studies. We're diving into lesson one of the John Bevere series called. And if you're tuning in and you feel a little stuck, maybe you're looking at your life wondering, is this it? Is there really a purpose for me here? I just want to encourage you to take a breath, and you are exactly where you need to be.
That's right. We're not rushing through this. We want to take our time and really digest these truths because we're laying a foundation. You know, if the foundation of a house is off by just a few inches, the whole structure is then compromised.
Yes.
So it's the same way with our faith. If we misunderstand the very nature of why God made us, then everything else we try to build, like our ministry, our career, or even our family life, it ends up feeling maybe a little shaky and not so sturdy. So we're going to slow down and we're going to get this right.
That's right. We need to put a quick disclaimer on the table. Crystal and I are not theologians, we're not seminary professors, and we are certainly not the final authority on Scripture.
That's right.
We are simply two women who love Jesus, love His Word, and are committed to learning it and living it out. This podcast is a conversation, so it is meant to encourage you, to challenge you, and to point you back to the Bible. It is not meant to replace your own personal time with the Holy Spirit. And it definitely is not a replacement for being planted in a healthy local church.
Yes, that's so true. So please don't just take our word for it. So we are studying John Bevere's material alongside you, but the real authority here is the Bible. So as we walk through these points, open your Bible, read the context, and ask the Holy Spirit to be your teacher, because He is the one who can truly lead you into all truth. We're just here to share what we're learning in hopes that it sparks something in your heart.
That's so true. All right, with that being said, let's get into it, and I'll open in prayer. Father, we thank You for Your word. Thank You that You are a God of intention and that You don't create anything by accident. We invite the Holy Spirit to lead this conversation right now. Open the eyes of our understanding, correct us where we need correction, and encourage us where we've grown weary, and give us hearts that respond to You quickly, not just ears to hear. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.
Okay, so before we get started, I'm going to read something from John Bevere so that we know kind of where we're headed, and before we start this conversation, Crystal, mm-hmm. just to kind of give a roadmap of kind of what we did Tuesday night. So Scripture is clear that we all have a calling, and John Bevere talked about there are, in fact, two different types of callings that each one of us have. We have a general calling and a very specific calling. So God's general calling is for every single person. It's for us to live a holy life, to know Jesus intimately, and to forgive when we've been treated unfairly, to live in freedom, and to serve one another. Ultimately, each of us are called to advance the kingdom of God through faith, mm-hmm. hope, and love, expressing through our lives, and so that people can see Jesus through us. God also gives us each a specific calling, and John Bevere's course, that's what he's really teaching on, is the specific calling, not the general calling. So right away, there are some common misconceptions about the calling. Many think it's just people that are called to live in, like, work in ministry or mission work. So John Bevere really went into that deeply, that is totally not true, which keeps many Christians from fulfilling what God's called them to do because they believe that lie. Mm-hmm. So the truth is, we were all created on purpose for a purpose. And the reason why we chose this study after praying long and hard is that we want to follow John Bevere's course. And he first is going to equip us to discover what you're called to do. And then secondly, he's going to show through the study how to get there. And then third, it's going to show us how to succeed in our calling. So let's get ready, because God has wonderful things in store through this study, again, which we are studying from John Bevere. I didn't want to rush past that. I wanted to give just an overcap of what we did Tuesday night. I do strongly encourage everybody to download John Bevere's Message X. No, it's what? Messenger? Messenger X. Because that's where this study is. And we want to always send you back to the author of the study. And just go watch the videos if you want to watch them along with us right now. Like I said, this is lesson one, and there are 10 of them. And we'll be going through each one of them week by week. So lesson one really set the trajectory for everything else going forward. So if we misunderstand the calling here, just like you said, Crystal, if we, this is the foundation. If we miss this, mm-hmm. you know, we're going to get it wrong. If we get the definition wrong, the rest of the study is going to feel confusing instead of freeing, and it's actually going to feel like pressure.
Right. And that's so true. And I think that's where a lot of us, you know, possibly live. We live in the confusion.
Yeah.
Many people grow up in a church believing that the calling is a VIP pass reserved for pastors, missionaries, or people who work full-time in ministry.
I'm guilty too.
One of those people. But somewhere along the line, we picked up this subtle lie that unless you have a title, a pulpit, or a platform, you don't really have a calling. And I know I've felt that way.
Oh yeah, for sure. Agreed.
Where you're maybe just a supporting cast, like you're not really doing a whole lot for the kingdom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. But that idea doesn't come from scripture. The Bible is very clear that every single believer has a calling from God, and it's not just a calling to believe in him. So we can go to heaven or someday, which is kind of like what I always thought. You know, if you believe in him, that's what you're here for, and that's it. It's calling to live with a purpose right now. God doesn't save people accidentally. He doesn't redeem lives randomly. If God created you, called you to himself, and placed you where you are right now in your specific job, in your specific neighborhood, then your life has meaning right now. Not someday, not when you get it together, not later when you feel settled and ready to like say, okay, God, here I am. I've got everything all lined up, you know?
Yeah. And listening to that, like, I mean, it brings up a really good question that John Bevere asked in his video.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's worth asking ourselves again. So when you hear the word calling, what is the first image that pops in your head?
I have a couple things. So I think for many of us, the calling was tied to, like we talked about, ministry roles, careers, something big.
Mm-hmm.
But we tend to think of our calling like as a destination, someplace where we have to peak to climb instead of walking just daily in obedience. But scripture shows us that calling is first about how we live, not what title we hold.
Yeah. And that distinction definitely matters because how we define calling will actually shape how we live. So
it's true.
If I think calling is a destination, I'm going to be frustrated with my commute, right? I'm going to be frustrated with the dishes. I'm going to be frustrated with the mundane parts of my life.
Mm-hmm.
But the Bible shows us that there is a calling God gives to all believers. So every one of us is called to follow Jesus, to live set apart, to love people, to forgive when it's hard, to serve others, and to represent Christ well in everyday life, even in the mundane things.
That's right. You want people to see Jesus in you in your everyday walk.
Mm-hmm.
So that calling doesn't change based on your job, your age, your background, or how long you've been a Christian. But here is a beautiful tension. Within that general calling, God is also working personally. This is where calling becomes unique. God doesn't mass produce people, and he certainly doesn't mass produce callings. So he formed us all individually and unique. He then also formed our calling, our individual callings, unique and shaped them for us personally. He works differently in each life according to his design.
Yes, and I think this is exactly where comparison starts to creep in and steal our joy.
Mm.
So have you ever looked at someone's life, maybe someone who is doing ministry or someone who has a quote-unquote visible platform and thought, dang, why doesn't my calling look like that? Like, did I miss it? Did I miss the boat?
Honestly, I think most of us have. Even if we don't say it out loud,
yeah.
Comparison usually shows up with, you know, you start measuring your faith against someone else that's visible. You start looking at the, you know, just how you look at someone and say, man, they are so faithful or they are so strong in their faith, you know. We look at their fruits and think that's what success looks like.
Yeah.
But comparison just distracts us from what God is doing in our own lives. And it really clouds the calling that he has for us specifically. So we got to be careful there.
Yeah, and it really does. I mean, God never asked you to fulfill someone else's assignment.
That's right.
He asked you to be faithful with the life he gave you.
That's right.
So Paul says in Galatians 1:15, but when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace. So notice it says he called me.
That's right.
By his grace.
That's
so
good.
Your calling is anchored in grace, not in how much you look like someone else.
Amen. But here's where a lot of people get stuck. We start looking for a position before we understand our purpose. We want to know what we are supposed to do, where we're supposed to go, what are we supposed to, what's our role here, you know? But God is far more concerned with who we are becoming. And John Bevere hit that straight on, right? Like he's like, he actually prayed and he said, and it probably slowed him down, or that it possibly slowed him down because he prayed for the Lord to give, to build his character and make sure his character basically was built along with his calling, right? Yeah. He didn't want his, basically his head to get bigger than the calling that the Lord set him out to, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because unfortunately your platform, if your character isn't big enough yet in growth and strength in the Lord, and you start on a platform, you can easily, those, you know, the higher you go, the harder the fall,
yeah,
right?
That's right?
So he was really, he talked a lot about that, and I thought that was great, and he said it was important that he prayed that, and he believes it kept him grounded,
mm-hmm,
and put him in the position to really serve the Lord where he is today, and
yeah,
clearly he's doing well serving the Lord.
Yeah, and honestly, I mean, that is the hard truth.
Mm-hmm.
So God always prioritizes character before platform.
Yes, that's good.
You know, he prioritizes faithfulness before visibility. He prioritizes obedience before opportunity. And if we try to skip that process, if we rush to the platform without the character, we may end up successful in the world's eyes,
mm-hmm,
but we'll end up empty inside. So God is not in a hurry to promote people who aren't ready to carry the weight that comes with the calling.
I mean, I think this right here reminds me of that scripture, which I never understood until we've been diving into really some good Bible studies and really trying to understand the Lord and hearing from the Lord, is right here that what you just read puts the scripture of get away from you, where the Lord's not going to know the elect. And I was like, how can he turn away from the people who've been serving him? And you know, where he says, get away from me, I never knew you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because this,
we've done miracles in your name.
Yeah, we've exactly
we've
prophesied in your name.
We've done all
these things, but he didn't know because there was no relationship.
Right.
That's when you read that, that's instantly the scripture that came to my mind. So that's good. So let me say that this requires a bit of honesty, right?
Yeah.
Because called does not automatically mean we are walking in our calling. Just because you have a destination doesn't mean you're driving that car, right? So God calls, but we choose how we respond. God invites us, but we decide whether to say yes. Calling is not activated by knowledge. It is activated by obedience.
Yeah, that's true.
So it's like, you know, we have to take the first step.
Yeah, we have to be obedient.
That's right.
We have to be obedient to whatever he's asking.
Mm-hmm.
So let me ask you this. Where is it that you think people get stuck the most?
Mm.
Would you say it's hearing from God, or is it obeying what he's already maybe told them to do?
Well, I think most people aren't stuck because God hasn't spoken, because clearly he has. I think because if you're in his scripture, he's speaking.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's important for people to understand that. I think we're stuck because obedience is uncomfortable. Hearing God often isn't the hardest part. Trusting him enough to actually do what he says is the hard part. We say we are waiting on God, but sometimes God is actually waiting on us to take the next steps he's already shown us.
And so here's the good news for anyone who's maybe feeling a little overwhelmed. Calling rarely starts with something dramatic. So most of the time, it begins quietly.
Mm-hmm, that's true.
It looks like loving difficult people. It looks like showing up consistently when no one notices. It looks like forgiving when it costs you. And it looks like serving without applause. it looks like being faithful in the ordinary, boring moments. And that's it.
That's true. You know, we talked about that at Bible study, that basically, you know, you've got to be ready to just listen and love people where they are. And sometimes that is very hard. And you want people to love you where you are. And we're right now reading the this is rough because we're doing a couple studies, y'all. So we're doing Tuesday night studies and we're doing a family study with our family. And we're doing it, reading, going through the Bible chronological. Mm-hmm. And we are right now deep in Job.
Poor Job.
And we're doing Job with Beyond the Church Walls. We're doing that with the ministry as a whole for the whole year. Yeah. That is a study we're doing online as well. And wow. So this reminds me of that. Like, we're to the part where his friends were like badgering him and just really not loving him well. No. Right?
Basically, he must have hidden sin because God's not going to punish you. But well, God didn't punish, but
he allowed.
Satan's like, oh, Job, he'll turn away from if you take
all
his
the
protection
stuff, yeah.
away. And God's like, not my Job.
Yeah.
So God is bragging about his Job.
Right.
So, you know.
Right. Exactly. And the thing about it is, and that's what made me think of that study that we're working into,
yeah.
because here, God does not wait for perfect people.
That's right.
Right? Nobody's perfect, obviously. There's only one perfect man who walked on this earth, and that's Jesus Christ.
Right.
He works with all willing people, right? All mm-hmm. of his willing, all of his children. If you're willing to come to him and in obedience, you know, that's who he works with. And I want everyone to hear that our specific calling comes from God. So right away, I need to tell you that there is a common misconception about callings. Many think that only people who have callings on their life are those who work in ministry, as we mentioned.
Yeah.
And this is a complete and total lie. It keeps many Christians from feeling fulfilled.
Yeah.
And, you know, I have been that person. I've been that person like, you know, well, you know, this person was meant to do this in ministry or was meant to do that. But like right now, as we have our ministry, that this ministry actually goes and serves the homeless community and tries to help people in need. And we are right where God has told us to be in this season.
Yeah.
And so there's no reason to be unfulfilled. If you are walking in your calling with Christ, that is what's important.
Yeah, that's true. And the truth is, we've already said it, you were created on purpose for a purpose.
That's right.
And that line basically summarizes Ephesians 2:10, which reads, "For we are his workmanship,
yes.
created in Christ Jesus for good works,
mm.
which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Now, something interesting, I wish I could remember exactly why John Bevere did this. He took that scripture and he added, "For the purpose of," so I'm going to reread it how he had it. He says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for the purpose of good works."
Right.
Which and God, if, oh, sorry.
No, I just want to say, it's important to say that he didn't like, because you were not supposed to add to and take
oh,
away
no,
from
he
scripture.
Was just trying
he
to,
just did it as like, let's rewrite, just so you, for understanding purposes.
Right.
Yeah.
Of basically how important good
yes.
works
yep.
are in our life. Like, good works will not get us to heaven.
That's right.
But our purpose on this earth is to do good works.
We're
going to
be judged by
was.
Good works, as we know that we just yeah. learned in Revelation. So there is a purpose for it. And you're right.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
So after reading Ephesians 2:10, so think about that. God prepared the works beforehand. So you don't have to stress about inventing a purpose. You just have to walk in the one he has already designed for you.
That's right. And this is why this study that we are doing right now through John Bevere's exists even.
Yeah.
In this study, we're going after three things. First, we want to equip you to discover what you are called to do here on earth. Second, we want to show you how to get there. And third, we want to show you how to succeed in your calling. So get ready, because God has wonderful things in store for you.
Yeah, so true. But we do have to be diligent.
That's true.
And another scripture tells us, so 2 Peter 1:10 says, therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. Mm. For if you do these things, you will never stumble.
Yeah, that's good.
So God didn't create us to be passive observers. We have to actively pursue it.
That's right. Actively pursue our calling, right? And mm-hmm. know it and understand it. So again, that's why we're doing it. So I want everyone to hear this clearly as we wrap up this study. You were created on purpose for a purpose. We can't say that enough.
That's right.
Your calling is not theoretical, it's practical. Over the next several weeks, we're not chasing titles or positions. We're just here learning how to walk faithfully with God, one obedient step at a time.
All right, so let's get a little personal. We do have a few reflective questions from the lesson that I would like you to ponder this week. And I also like you to really answer the questions honestly. So the first one is, what does it tell you about God that he gives you a specific calling?
Well, for me, it tells me that God is personal and intentional. He doesn't see me as part of a crowd or a generic believer. He knows me. He actually knows how I'm wired and what he placed inside of me. So a specific calling tells me God cares about all the details of my life, and he didn't create me just to exist, but to live with a purpose. And it reminds me that I matter to him, and my life has meaning beyond just getting through the day.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's good. I mean, the Bible tells us he knows every hair on our head.
That's right.
He created us before we were even born in our mother's womb.
That's right.
He knows us, so he created us on purpose for a purpose.
That's right. And how many times have you heard, and I can, like, we were created for a time such as this.
We were created, yep.
You know, it's not coincidental that we're alive in 2026, right? There's a reason, so.
That's right. Okay. Second question. How does knowing that everyone has a calling, and not just pastors and ministers, mm-hmm. how does knowing that change the way you approach life?
I think it changes everything, honestly. It helps me see that my everyday life is sacred and not separate from my faith. You know, my work, my relationship, how I treat people, and how I show up consistently, all matters to God. Yeah. So it kind of takes the pressure off of just that comparison we talked about earlier. Like, there's really no reason for that. I don't have to chase someone else's assignment or feel less than because my calling looks simple and ordinary,
right?
You know?
Yeah.
It helps me approach life with more intention and just knowing God has and will and continue to use me where I am right now in my season.
Yeah, and I think that's it, because, you know, when you see someone like, let's say Brandon Lake, he's a big worship, a lot of people know Brandon Lake, right?
Yeah.
It's like, oh man, like, he's doing just amazing things for the kingdom. Brandon Lake's got so many crowns on his head, right?
Right.
It's like, I may have like one, but that doesn't matter. Because even bringing one person to Jesus,
right,
that's also doing amazing things for the kingdom.
Right.
Because that's one person that's not going to hell.
Right.
That's
we say one person, but honest to goodness, as you know, you were a nurse, live in a hospital. We don't even know the amount of people that we have, how many lives we have touched or changed. Yeah. And we won't know that. We definitely won't know that. It's not like that's not even a guess until the other side of heaven when it's revealed to us our works and how we did. As long as we are walking and talking the best we can like Jesus and people can see him living in us, then believe me, it'll be more than one person.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there are some days, don't get me wrong. I tell the story about me walking into Verizon when I had a Jesus shirt. Remember that? And I had one of my shirts on, and I was in there, and I wasn't so nice. Now, I didn't curse or anything, because I try not to do that, but I was not kind. And then I walk outside, and the Holy Spirit convicted me. I'm like, I just felt this. I felt horrible. And I looked down, and I had my Jesus shirt. I'm like, oh, Lord, I am so sorry. Like, I felt horrible, okay?
Yeah.
So it is important to reflect always best you can, you know, Jesus. Because you never know who's watching or listening, right?
Yeah. Okay, so we'll look at the last question. Who do you know that is living in their God-given calling? And how can you tell they're living in their God-given calling?
Well, I'm sure there are many people. I'm not going to like name people specifically, but I think I can usually tell people are living in their calling because there's a sense of peace and maybe steadiness in their life, even when things aren't easy. So like they may be going through the roughest time in their life, but they are so at peace and steady.
Yeah.
They're not chasing recognition or constantly comparing themselves to others. They're faithful, consistent, and humble. I think being humble is one of the biggest things. And their life is producing fruit. You know, there's no hype. They serve well. They love people, genuinely, truly love people. And you can see that. It kind of like spews from them. And they remain grounded. So to me, it's obvious that they're walking with God, not just talking about him. And sometimes you see people talking about God, but the fruit's not coming from them. So I think that's the difference that I see.
And I think that actually was the consensus of our Tuesday night Bible study was, I think everyone had mentioned it's the fruit of their life. Does the fruit show that they're walking with God?
Right. That's right. You know, not just they're just saying it. Cause you know, you could be a mouthpiece all day long, but do you truly walk with his light?
That reminds me of the person, Amy had mentioned a few weeks ago.
Oh, she's so funny. Yeah.
It
was online. Something was somebody posted
like
something
Shopify
online.
Shopify or something.
Yeah.
Because she does this. She has an online Christian shirt apparel business. And it's like some guy who's a scammer, because you can tell by the email address. So she's like, he's like, me and Jesus know that you're scamming. He's like, oh, I know Jesus. And she's like, but if you did, would you be scamming people? It was just really funny how she was telling
And she did it, actually. She showed it, like, she did it very, you know, very lovingly and just kind of letting this guy know that, listen, I know you're a scammer, and she actually said to him, but maybe you should turn to Jesus or something to that effect. And that's right. Like, you always want to turn people back to Christ. You know, rebuke them when you know they're, you know, privately rebuke them. And she sent, he tried to message her and try to be not so kind. So that's right. That's true. So.
Oh goodness. So that is just what we talked about is just such a beautiful picture.
Yeah.
So let's kind of wrap up this section. So now that we kind of finished up the questions from the study, I do have one final question. It's more of like a personal reflection question. And that question is, where might God already be asking you for obedience in your life?
Yeah, and I think here for most of us, it won't be something like huge, big, and dramatic, right?
Right, right.
I think it'll be something small, specific, and very personal. Maybe something God has already brought to our attention that we're delaying or avoiding, or what I love to say, procrastinating.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's an apology. Maybe it's stopping a habit. Maybe it's just showing up, because what Amy said, which is true, and we've heard people say it 1,000 times over, 90% obedience is 100% disobedience.
Yep, that's
right.
Right. Yep.
So maybe it's that.
Yeah. And I think that's our challenge this week.
Yeah.
So don't look for a new revelation. Look for the old one that you haven't maybe walked out yet.
Yeah, the one that the Lord's asked you to do and you're still praying on, right? That you're still praying on for something and the Lord's tapping and saying, how about you just do what I told you, and then, you know what I mean, you take the step.
Yeah.
And then he will take the next, right?
Yeah. Okay.
Awesome.
So we're going to go ahead and close out in prayer. So Father God, we thank you that you have called us by name. We repent for the times we've treated our calling lightly or waited for a sign when you've already given us the word.
Yes.
Lord, we choose obedience over comfort. We trust you with the process of our calling. Give us courage to respond quickly to what you've already shown us. And make us faithful servants who build your kingdom with our lives, right where we are. In Jesus' precious and mighty name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, listen, family, thank you so much for hanging out with us. And remember, you don't need a title to be called. You don't need a platform. You need a yes in your spirit and obedience in your feet.
Yes. And just another reminder to please, please download the Messenger X and watch this episode, because he dived in a lot. He
had a lot deeper than we were able to go.
And he did an amazing story on a Navy SEAL friend. Yes, it's so worth listening to.
We couldn't have done it justice.
No,
I mean,
not at all.
We would have loved to share the Navy SEAL story with you, but there's no way we could have done it justice. So again, we kudos to John Bevere and his team and how they put that on and told us this story. And he told more than one story, but that one really stuck out.
Because it's so important to a specific calling. So if this episode hit you, please share it with somebody who's been stuck thinking that maybe they don't matter, because that lie comes straight from the pits of hell and it needs to be broken.
That's right.
You are called. Jesus called you by name and you have a purpose.
That's right. And also, if you are local and you want to join us in person for Tuesday night Bible study, we would love to have you. Check us out on Facebook. We are Beyond the Church Walls Ministry. And make sure you put ministry there or you're not going to find us. And if you're not local, stay connected there, because we're walking through this series step by step. Make sure you subscribe, leave a review, and send us your thoughts. What is the one small step of obedience God is asking of you this week? So until then, stay grounded, stay hungry, and stay unfiltered in your walk with Jesus. This is Unfiltered Faith, Beyond the Church Walls. We love you, and we will see you next Thursday. God bless.